You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Open wide for some soccer!
You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
We passed then.
When?
Just now. We're at now now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
This club, and any sports franchise for that matter, should be a sacred community asset. That is how we're going to treat the crew. Our goal will be to take the crew to be one of the standard bearers in the league.
And look at the Nord deck there. The crew faithful, ever so loud. Yeah, buddy.
I'm not getting any snare in my headphones. We're back.
Turn up the bass.
It's the Massive Report. My name is Matt, joined as always by Sam, who's turning the gears and eating, what is that, a fruit pie from McDonald's?
That is a strawberry cream pie.
It's a strawberry cream pie from McDonald's. Is it actual strawberries, though?
It's McBerries.
Only one man would dare give us the raspberry. Sam Fahmy turning the gears, Chris Lamacchia in with us, Larry Johnson, Justin Bell. Chris Edwards going to be calling us from China at some point. When are we talking to Chris?
Did he find our offense? Is that where?
Yes.
Is that why he's there?
Yeah, he's in China on a scouting mission trying to figure out where our offense is. And Greg Benson will be on a little bit later to discuss Crystal Palace.
We have an Aussie segment, I guess.
Yeah, we are going to have an all-Aussie segment.
All right.
Yes, I'm going to just do a really, really horrible impression. It's going to be great.
Throw another shrimp on the ball, babe.
So, yeah, so the crew... 3-3 draw at Portland, playing, what was it, 60-some minutes a man up?
56
minutes, go into the half up 2-1 and lose the second half 2-1, and that's where we kind of find ourselves right now. Streaking, but not the right way, not the fun way. Streaking the other way, which would be kind of more white girl wasted on High Street than winning soccer games.
Walk of shame.
Walk of shame.
Yeah.
Walk of shame streaking. So, guys, let's first talk about that. What does this team need to do? Larry?
Well, it depends on what the goal is.
Where have I heard this before?
Well, I mean, it's, they're preaching improvement and process and things like that. I think this last game is one of those that in a few weeks we'll just sort of crumple up. Or they'll crumple up and throw it out the window and say, you know, it was a weird 10-man Portland team in Portland. And they'll move on. You know, it's, you know, it always bothers me, these kind of games, because when you have a player that goes into for a wild challenge like that, and then you have a team that's trying to improve on, you know, holding the ball, but they're also trying to win the game away in a place like Portland, where Portland's always good to even the score up, just because of the crowd, and it's crazy. So what do they need to do? I mean, they should have won that game. I mean, absolutely should have won that game.
Portland sucks.
They're not very good.
Yeah, they're really not a good team. Not that we're much better right now.
Yeah, their back line is horrible.
Yeah.
Even with Harrington in there. Maybe he would have gotten a red. But, I mean, he's out on a red card suspension. But, I mean... They're just not that good.
Yeah, Justin, your thoughts.
What do we need to do?
Well, what happened, and what do we need to do? I guess are the two questions.
Well, I think what happened was the same thing that seems to happen with this team over the last few weeks is that it's, on every single play, defensive play, and I think from the very beginning of the game, we're just not very aggressive on defense. Like, not very. I can't recall like the first time during this game watching and noticing to myself, like, well, we're allowing Portland to just kind of attack, and none of our players are stepping up and trying to make a challenge and trying to dispossess them at any time.
Yeah.
And it was that way pretty much through most of the game. And so when you're up 11-10 and you allow a team to dictate individual plays like that, then you're giving away so much. And I don't know. I just don't think the team is. I hate to say that they're not that good,
mm-hmm.
but in general, like, the players are just I don't know, man.
I mean, if Parkhurst and Francis are there, do you think they pull that one up? That's the answer. I mean, this is kind of like we should be able to say, yeah, they would have won that game.
Look, I think if you rate the players like in their talent level, Higuain is far and away the best player on this team. Michael Parkhurst is probably number two. I'm not including Steve Clark, but I mean he's good. He's really good. But from that point on, there's just really not much.
Yeah.
And like you know, I know Will Trapp gets a lot of credit for almost everything that he does. God bless his heart. But he really doesn't. There were some times during this game where he just got abused. I mean, just like turned on his heels, and they're putting so much pressure on him. And I know that Tony Chani gets the vast majority of the blame for a lot of everything that he does on the field. I didn't think he had too terrible of a game on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to criticize him because I think he's doing basically what he can. But boy, a lot of these guys just need to step up, and I think. Have a little bit more confidence in what they're doing, especially defensively. It'd make a big difference.
Chris, your thoughts?
I'm going to say in six no uncertain words.
Is it going to involve people taking hats off?
No.
Okay. I'm just double checking.
Everything that Larry and Justin have said, but much shorter, much more succinct, and I'm going to be that guy. This team needs to find their testicles and follow Higuain.
In six words.
Yeah.
Six words.
Yeah.
There you go. They need to nut up and follow their leader.
Yeah.
But in a game like that where he's carrying them, absolutely. But there's a number of games where following him might not be the best thing to do.
This is a valid point. But, so let the game dictate that. Don't go out and not even attempt to nut up and follow the person who's going to lead you to victory. I don't care if you're playing a game against Portland Timbers or going to Chipotle on a Thursday afternoon. You do what the best person on the team needs, wants, and instructs you to do.
Are you saying that they don't need to be doing what the captain was doing that game?
I think that you, me, and everybody listening knows that Will Trapp may be wearing the armband, and he may be the vocal leader the vocal leader that speaks to the refs when things are going south, as he did on Saturday night. But in heart, soul, and everything else, Higuain is the actual... Follow me, boys. I'm going to take you to victory later.
Yeah. I mean, there was a number of plays where, during that game, because it got kind of heated there at the end, where there was a great opportunity for leadership qualities to show.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Trapp was involved in that line judge thing.
Mm-hmm. He was doing the best he could for a 21-year-old?
Yeah. But then there was a foul on Barson, and I think it was Williams that sort of stepped up.
Yeah.
And,
Come on, man. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Josh? You don't have the...
I don't mind that.
I thought that was good.
No, I think it is, but if you're going to step up and run your mouth, take a swing and fire your team up.
I don't know.
No, I mean, I've been saying it. This team needs a bench-clearing brawl to get fired up.
But I guess what I'm saying, though, is a bench-clearing brawl would be... But what I'm saying is that the leadership qualities... I'm not just saying Williams was... I mean, there was a whole bunch of opportunities like that. And it was usually someone else besides the guy wearing the armband.
Right.
And I'm not saying the Trapp is...
Well, no, and it's should not... Should be it's nothing against, everything. But Will Trapp doesn't have that kind of personality. He's... I don't know. I think that the problem that this team has at this point, with this team, and I'm not talking about, need to go find a striker. Let's bring in get rid of Tony Chani. I'm talking about this roster right now has zero intestinal fortitude.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like they have a lot of direction either.
I would argue that point, but not right now because you're probably right.
Well, let's look at where you are in this game. So, okay, you're playing in this game and you fall behind early on a play that all it took. There were three guys standing around Rudy when he was it. No, it was I just lost it. Was it Zakuani who I think
Steve
made the
Zakuani.
Pass?
Yeah.
He made the pass. There were three guys standing around him as he attacked, and not one of them made a step and tried to dispossess him.
Yeah.
Or even slow him down. Not a single one. It was Will Trapp, Josh Williams, and I can't remember the third guy.
Probably
was it? Yeah, it was Gonzalez.
Yeah, it was Gonzalez.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that not one of those guys thought. Okay, we're enough. It's enough of giving ground to this guy. We're going to take him out.
Yeah.
You're playing on a postage stamp. You know, like the it's what we always call these small fields. And so you're playing on a small sized field on plastic, and you know that the team that you're playing attacks. That's all that they have is an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it through the entire game because they can. And it was like they were completely surprised by this fact.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I don't understand why that takes you by surprise when this is Portland's MO forever.
Mm.
And it really came, boy, the last, I think the minutes like 60 through 70 of the game, Portland just completely dominated that.
That was painful.
Yeah, and then it got worse. And then, you know, the, you know, when Ethan Finley scored the tying goal, or was it the go-ahead goal, 3-2,
yeah.
You know, I thought, boy, maybe we got a little bit of luck there. But, you know, luck doesn't exist. You have to go out and kind of make it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I guess, you know, you mentioned Josh Williams, and I think he had pretty much the most aggressive play that didn't involve
a red card
being sent off,
like
yeah.
a shot. I mean, or like a like, you know, not a play with the ball. I mean, I think that what he did was good, but I also agree with you. He didn't follow through.
Right.
And if you're going to go up there, I mean, get in the guy's face and make them move you off.
Yep.
He got a yellow card for what he did. But he was right to do that because
He was absolutely right to do it.
There was
not
one player from Portland who went up to Powell and said, "Dude, you messed us up." Not one of them.
Yeah.
Not their coach, Caleb Porter, didn't challenge him on that. That was a disgusting foul.
Caleb Porter was like when it was happening. I think they sort of showed him. He just was like,
"Yeah,
what are you doing?"
Yeah, threw his hands up.
The game.
Come on, man, what are you?
Yeah.
But that was a disgusting foul. And I mean, if we can bring this up, I think if Powell is not suspended for at least 5 games, then there's something insanely wrong with MLS.
I can tell you right now that he won't because he wears a green shirt that says
Portland
on it. But if that guy plays for any other than Seattle, yeah, he's
Brian Mullen got. When he broke Steve Zakuani's legs, he got a red card suspension, so he got the 1 game, and then they tacked on 9.
Right. Yep.
And I think that's comparable to what Powell deserves. I think he should get 10 games.
And if Chad Barson if Chad Barson wasn't already in the air from clearing the ball, yeah, that's a broken leg.
It is.
And it was done with malice. It was done out of spite. He felt that he had been fouled by Tyson Wall. Curiously, Tyson Wall was involved in both of those plays.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson Wall... I believe was the guy who fouled Brian Mullen in that and in that play, and then didn't get called for it.
Yeah,
and then you know, Tyson Wall obviously played for the Crew this game,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of
interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
He had a pretty rough game.
All right. Well, we're gonna come back in just a few minutes. Crew announce our big summer friendly. That's coming up. Double Aussie segment. Triple word score. It's on the way next. This is the Massive Report. Segment 2, it is the Massive Report. I did promise 2 Australians on this segment. Unfortunately, technical difficulties have prevented our good friend Chris Edwards from China to call in. I mean, he tried calling in, but it literally sounded like he was being attacked by some sort of communist
monster.
Yeah, communist hit squad.
All that technology in China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't get a connection with him for all the tea in China.
Oh, you.
But Greg Benson has joined us for segment number two to discuss the big announcement, the Summer Friendly, the Columbus Crew playing the Pride of London.
Pride of South London.
The Pride of South London.
You've got to be a little more specific.
Millwall, right? Is that who we're playing?
I see what you did there. Millwall Lions Pride.
Yeah.
That. I don't know if that was intentional.
Yes.
It was.
Mildly.
I smirked.
Arsenal?
Out of one corner of my mouth.
Are we playing Arsenal?
No, we're
Chelsea.
Not. Chelsea? No. No. We're actually
West Brom?
It's Wimbledon.
Quick. Wimbledon.
No, it's actually Wimbledon's former neighbors at Selhurst Park. It's Crystal Palace FC.
Not Crystal Palace Baltimore.
No, not Crystal Palace Baltimore. Apparently they don't exist anymore.
Oh.
Womp womp.
Did we try to get Crystal Palace Baltimore and then ended up just getting Crystal Palace because Crystal Palace Baltimore were busy?
I think so. Crystal Palace Baltimore had other plans and we were like, well, I guess if we can get the London team, okay.
So we had Stoke. And we had, who did we play last year?
We played Wigan last year.
That's who it was, Wigan. And now we're playing Crystal Palace.
Yeah. And what's it been, like West Ham and Newcastle? And I think they did play Aston Villa.
Villa was 07. Yeah.
Played Fulham one year.
Fulham. But should we just dub this the Summer Relegates Cup Series?
Well, the thing is that Crystal Palace weren't relegated.
No, but they've been relegated recently. And now they're back. And by the way, Gino Padula did not play for Crystal Palace, Sam. I just wanted to make sure.
It's
Queen's Park Rangers. They're also in London.
Crystal Palace have actually been relegated from the Premier League longer ago, if I'm not mistaken, longer ago than the Crew won the MLS Cup.
Oh. Still relatively recent.
And we like to treat that as if it was yesterday. So.
Yeah, exactly. So we're good. So let's first start out. Mr. Justin, are you super psyched for Special Game A?
I am super psyched.
By the way, can we quit calling it Special Game A and just call it the only other ticket that you get?
It's so special, there's only one of them. No, I think it's okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm not going to be holding out for Manchester City. So.
Yeah, I'm not holding out for Manchester City either, but, you know.
I would like to see one of these years us get an Italian team
or
something, but... But then again, I don't think anyone would come to that.
Yeah.
And not that there's going to be an overwhelming number of people who come to see Crystal Palace, but it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time.
How is Greg Berhalter's Italian? I mean, for next year, are we talking? Mm. Can you get on the phone to, like, Sampdoria or someone?
That's a good point.
I don't know.
Hola.
Yeah.
A bibbidi boppity. That's how you speak Italian, right?
If we start seeing, like, even though it's not going to be a big draw, but like Swedish teams.
And
you never know. You might get into that team.
Yeah. It would be cool.
I mean,
I would enjoy it.
Wouldn't it be a bigger draw and cheaper to get one of the Mexican teams? Cholos or something like that?
Didn't they play Tigres?
Yeah.
We played Club Tigres one year. We played, I'm trying to think, we played another team.
Independiente. We played Independiente. No, they're not Mexican, but
yeah.
No, we played them. We played them in a friendly, and then we played them in Champions League.
One of the 12 people that were there.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, nobody was there for that. But that was the year that we played West Ham. We played West Ham and Independiente. That was 08 because we had two summer friendlies because they were trying to fill special games and we didn't go very far in the Open Cup. I remember that now, Chris. Your thoughts on Crystal Palace?
Look, I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
He has should I prepare rant music?
No, we're good. We're good. So here's what I'm going to say.
Get closer
to everybody out there who's pissed because we're only playing Crystal Palace. First, we're playing a freaking English Premier League team. Shut up. Second, we're playing an English Premier League team that finished better than most of your favorite English Premier League teams, unless you're a front-running snob. Shut up.
They finished better than mine.
Third, it's an extra game that we get to go hang out at the stadium and party with all our friends for on a Wednesday and be drunk. Shut up.
Wait, it's on a Wednesday?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, this is bullshit.
Wednesday.
Fourth. Wait.
Wednesday the 23rd. We haven't actually announced the date yet.
Fourth. You live close to or / support a Major League Soccer team that is playing against a team from England. A top-level team from England.
Wait, they have soccer in England?
I know, right? Shut up. Not many people get to see this. Fifth and my final point is, who the freak did you expect we were going to play? Did you really think that we were going to bring in Borussia Dortmund or Bayern Munich or Manchester City / United?
I thought
/
we were getting
Arsenal?
West Ham again.
The thing that you have to take into mind here is that we are a mid-level American team. It's a really pretty accurate thing to expect that we would play a mid-level European team. I shut up.
When are we getting Paris Saint-Germain?
I'm applauding you.
I feel so much better.
That was glorious.
That's been brewing all day, hasn't it?
All freaking day.
That has been.
Shut up. We're playing an EPL team on a Wednesday for the fun of it.
It's on a Wednesday. Why aren't we playing Sheffield Wednesday?
That's actually a good point.
Because they're
because
a
they're
second level team.
Right, they're a championship
We're
team
playing
and not a,
team
a very good
team.
But they have a funny name.
So does freaking Nottingham Forest.
So does Crystal Palace, for that matter. I mean, it's not exactly what you... But anyway, no. No, I'll expand on what you were saying there, Chris, because the I will say that the attitude from... I won't say all Crew fans. I won't even say most Crew fans.
The
but
vocal
a,
majority, the vocal minority,
the vocal, yeah, right, the vocal minority, the squeaky wheel that wants the grease, should we say?
What are we going
to grease it with? Fucking Crystal Palace.
There we go.
Shut up.
For anybody who actually watched the Premier League this past season,
I can guarantee you that everybody who's complaining about Crystal Palace saw less than 5 Premiership games this year.
I don't disagree with that. I think you're absolutely right. Crystal Palace, when their current manager, Tony Pulis, who, by the way, won Premier League Manager of the Year for a team that finished 11th because of the position they were in. They were dead last when he took over.
Yes.
6 or 7 games into the end of the season. They'd come up through the championship playoff. They were expected to go down first, to finish last. They finished 11th, and oh, by the way, beat Everton away, Chelsea away, and came back from 3-0 down against Liverpool and basically handed Manchester City the title.
We don't call them Liverpool. We call them LOLerpool.
LOLerpool. Lollerpool. What?
Yeah, okay. Can I make a sixth point?
No.
New rule.
I already took the video.
New rule. If you're going to complain about the Columbus Crew's opponent in a summer friendly, from this point forward, if you want to complain about that topic, you have to be able to locate the stadium where that team plays on a map.
There you go.
With the team you're complaining about?
Yes, if you're complaining about the opponent for the summer friendly, you have to be able to locate that opponent's stadium on a map.
You have to be able to say why it's a bad idea for them to play is what you're...
Other than, I've never heard of them. Or right. They're not good enough. Or they're not my favorite team. Well, my favorite team isn't playing against the Columbus Crew either.
Who is your favorite team?
I'm a Newcastle fan.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm not really a Newcastle fan. I'm a freaking Amerisnob. My favorite team in the entire freaking world is
the
Columbus.
Indy 11.
Is the Columbus.
Is the Columbus freaking Crew.
It's the Cincinnati
Saints. My favorite team plays against my favorite team every freaking day of the week except Saturdays and Sundays.
Why are we not playing the Western Sydney Wanderers, Greg?
Mostly because they know that I will get belligerently drunk and throw things.
I know, that's why I want to play them.
However, Crystal Palace, you'll be interested to know, are actually captained by Mille Jedinak, who is the captain of the Socceroos, will be in Brazil with Team Australia.
Australia has a team that's going to Brazil?
Yes, Australia has a team that's going to Brazil.
Are they going to watch?
I thought it was Austria.
We're drawing... A little bit of a delayed reaction, but yeah. No, we're drawn in a group with Spain, the Netherlands, and Chile, so it's...
Oh, so you're going to watch.
So you got we've got the
return flights booked, let's put it that way.
You got the same amount of luck as the U.S. national team.
Oh.
Yeah, basically. No. I was here at Hen Dogs watching the draw with everybody else, and I had 2 dogs in the fight, and neither of them came out with a draw that I wanted, so... Yeah, sorry.
The Australian national team is not so much going to Brazil as they are just cowering in their hotel rooms crying.
Pretty much. I mean, if we can score a goal, I'll be happy. I mean, I really don't expect much. But as far as to get back on topic, because I know that we never struggle with that at all here on the Massive Report.
Sean O'Dell's coaster was stuck to the bottom of his drink. I think he's a witch.
Case in point.
Yes.
Does he float?
I mean, you look down through the Crystal Palace lineup. I'm seeing players who you're going to want to see. You haven't heard of these names, but you will. I mean, I'm talking about guys like Dwight Gale, Jason Punchin.
That would be a great marketing slogan, Matt, for the Columbus Crew.
Well, you haven't heard of these guys, but you will.
No, you haven't heard of these guys, but you want to see them.
But you want to see them, exactly.
Didn't the Blue Jackets try that a few years ago?
I think so. Matt, see if you can pronounce it. See if you can pronounce number eight there.
Number eight. Kashiko Dikakoi.
Wait, let me try.
Sean's gonna give it a shot.
Number eight. Huh?
Number eight.
Yeah.
Kagisho.
Dick
something.
Naga won't work here anymore.
Nikolai Happy Bulin.
By the way, not to make you guys feel terrible, my kids are actually listening to this.
Greg, hi, Greg's kids.
Yeah, Greg, I love you and everything, and I appreciate the points that you're trying to make here, but you're making the wrong points.
Sure.
You are falling into the hole that all of the Crew marketing staff has fallen into for the past umpteen years. You're marketing the opponent. Let's not do that. Let's market our own freaking team. We're playing our Columbus Crew, our hometown squad, who plays in a stadium that's approximately a mile and a half from the spot where I'm sitting in Awesome Town, is playing against one of the best teams in one of the best leagues in the best world that we know of.
You just marketed the opponent.
No, I'm not done yet.
No, so
come watch
them. Let him go. He's rolling.
Come watch the Columbus Crew. Come support your hometown team as they take on the world.
Right.
Come support your own boys. Who cares that Crystal Palace has a bunch of players that we're going to want to see in 5 years? Your Columbus Crew has players that you want to see right the freak now. Frack, now.
Yeah,
Columbus versus the world. Make it happen.
There you go.
I sent a t-shirt.
I've already seen it. I own that t-shirt. It's actually at my house. It's a thing. It pisses me off when people are like, oh my God, it was just the Columbus Crew. Yeah, it's your own freaking hometown team. Support them no matter what. So what? None of us, when you get to that point where you are bitching and moaning about the teams that you play, then you are verging on becoming a Seattle Sounders fan. Because what do Seattle Sounders fans do? They bitch and moan about the things that happen to their team. They show up when they feel like it, when they feel as though they are enticed to show up by something that their team is doing.
When they're being treated well enough.
When they're being treated well enough. Yeah. Like, did you see the TIFO that they did this weekend? All we are is money.
Yes.
Damn freaking right all you are is money. You buy your tickets, you come watch the team, you spend your money on. If without your money, without our money as supporters and fans, we don't have a league. Do you think that Lamar Hunt wrote a check out of his pocket to build the stadium for the fun of it? No, he knew because it was an investment and the league would grow that fans would support the team, and you could support the team with pyro and with TIFO and all those awesome things that we do for the fun of it, but the main support that we give to this team is our hard-earned dollars when we buy tickets and t-shirts and jerseys and crap.
Heaven forbid that a business should exist.
Heaven
money,
forbid
right?
that a business should make some freaking money.
Right.
And love it as much as we all do and as much as we hate to admit it, the Columbus Crew, Major League Soccer, the Cleveland Indians, the New York freaking Yankees, Manchester United, Borussia Dortmund, they're all freaking businesses who want to make money. So, it's all about money.
The difference between
Get on a microphone if you want to talk, Sean.
I'll knock over everything. I don't even care. The difference between us and Seattle is, for every one disillusioned fan that they have four more people waiting to hop on
who
the
who just
bail
need
boat.
Something to do on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're exactly right.
I'm so pissed about all this.
Okay, that's cool. I'm just ranting here because nobody's stopped me yet.
I agree 100% with your rant. Here's the problem. Until people stop
complaining
about who's playing what and who's playing where, and learn that you support the Crest regardless of what the hell is going on. Until only the committed 10%. Okay, 10% that show up.
Slice of the core.
And slice, unless, until the committed slice of the core grows to be more than just a slice. I don't think, honestly, this market deserves a top-level team.
We're not going to play Manchester.
I don't mean the crew. I mean deserves a top-level team to come here.
You're exactly right. The Columbus Crew is not going to play Manchester United in a friendly at Cleveland Brown Stadium or Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati until we have a number of fans who are, A, willing to drive there, B, willing to spend $125 on a ticket, and C, did I say willing to drive there? Because we can't get people from Franklin freaking County to come 10, 15 miles to our own stadium where they can buy a $20 ticket. How are we going to get Let's see. Paul Brown Stadium seats approximately 60,000. That means that we have to sell approximately 30,000 tickets. We can't get 30,000. No, it's...
We can't get 12,000.
We can't get half of that.
For all of you people who want that to happen, I would like for you to just, first of all, kick yourself in the ass, and second of all, engage your brain and think for a minute, because it's just not going to happen until we sell out our own stadium. Well played, Sean. First burp on the podcast.
Nice.
Ding.
But I think Sean made a really good point. Because, like, everything is going to basically be this way until we can start selling out the stadium.
Yeah.
And,
Kansas
I mean,
the word came out not even 3 days ago. They have a waiting list 3,000 people long waiting for season tickets.
Yeah.
We can't.
Well, it's one of the problems that we have with everything with this team, not just with what team we get during the, you know, from Europe to come play us in a friendly. It's everything. Like, we get down to, like, why the Nordeca sounds like crap or why the team can't play very well. And it's because
you want a new striker? Buy some tickets.
Yeah, get people to the stadium.
Yeah.
And, you know, have not only get them to the stadium, but actually have them become fans.
I would
game, not on the, not no, that's really important.
It is. But
because
right
what
now,
happens is, like, if we have people who just come in and fill in the stadium on one or two nights a season, I mean, Columbus isn't really that. We're just not that. We don't have the people, the population here to say, okay, we're going to have a brand new crowd every other week at Crew Stadium.
Right.
No, what we need to do is you need to have people who are engaged, know what's going on, and say, like, I want to buy season tickets.
Yeah.
And because that'll change everything. Mm-hmm. If we had 25,000 people in that stadium every week who knew exactly what was going on and wanted to participate, you bet your ass we would totally have like a team like
we would be playing like, Manchester City.
Yeah, we would have a team like that come and play, because what they want to do is they want to make money during their U.S. trip,
mm-hmm.
and they want to have that. And but they also want to have again they want to play against a team that's going to be worth their while.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
So, right.
Well, and they want to build their brand in the United States
right.
as well. And,
right, right.
That's another key.
Right.
And everybody knows that when you come to Columbus Crew Stadium and you have to play on a Wednesday, because these international friendlies, they're not going to be on a Saturday night. You're not going to play this friendly on a Saturday night. You're not going to play it on a Sunday afternoon. You're going to play it on a weeknight.
Unless you're playing West Ham.
Yes. Everybody knows that when you come to Columbus Crew Stadium, you're going to play on a weeknight.
Not in a World Cup year.
And you're going to play on a weeknight in front of approximately 10,000 people.
I mean, whether we want to admit it or not, Here's hoping that there are more Crystal Palace fans in the Columbus area than there are Derby County fans.
Yeah.
I only know of one Derby County
fan. I know one Derby County fan.
I'm looking at him.
I scored a goal on Derby County.
I'm sure you will.
FIFA doesn't count.
I have the t-shirt to prove it. All right, we're going to come back and rant about even more stuff, probably, and get more upset.
That was cathartic.
Was.
Do you feel better?
A bit.
A bit. Do you need a hug?
No.
Smoking a pancake.
We'll find the witch, may we burn her?
Does she float?
Who do you know she is a witch?
She looks like one.
Bring her forward.
I'm not a witch.
But you are just as one.
You know, it's funny that Sam is playing this, because it makes it seem as though we're on a witch hunt.
And this isn't my nose, it's a false one.
When in actuality, we're just Monty Python fans.
Yeah.
Well...
Well, we did do the nose.
The nose?
And the hat. But she's a witch!
Did you just show that?
No!
Yes.
A bit. She has got a wart.
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt!
A newt?
I got better.
That's enough.
Alright.
Yes.
Now we're gonna come back. Third segment. I've lost my train of thought at this point.
We're gonna come back in the third segment. We're gonna rant about a few things. I think we're gonna talk about some Columbus Crew soccer. We're gonna talk about the next upcoming opponent. Are we gonna talk about the top 10 thing that's going on with Jonathan T-Bone Smith on TV on the Time Warner Cable Sports Channel that half the Columbus Crew fans can't see? Are we gonna talk about that at all?
I didn't even know that existed, so
I
sure.
I just saw that yesterday.
I thought it was 75%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everyone at this table, because I'm the only one that has Time Warner Cable, drink, everyone at this table had no idea what I was talking about because no one saw it. The Columbus crew is trying to nominate someone for their Hall of whatever, and no one can see this occurring because no one has freaking Time Warner Cable except me. Drink
okay,
again.
So I actually spend most of my time at Hand Dogs, and Hand Dogs does have Time Warner.
How did you not know this?
Because they never have the volume on.
Let's figure that out the next time.
Unless the abs are playing.
I just watch it for the pretty pictures. That's all I'm in it for. All I am is money to you.
We'll be back. Oh, this is the Massive Report.
Mein Bratwurst has a first name. It's F-R-I-T-C. Mein Bratwurst has a second name. It's S-C-H-N-A-C-K-E-N-P-F-E-F-F-E-R-H-A-U-S-E-N.
I just felt we needed that after Chris's last segment.
I do. Yeah. I do feel fan-frickin-tastic. Shut up and leave me alone.
Patrick Gilden joining us on the Massive Report for segment three. How are you doing, Patrick?
Not too bad today. How are you?
I'm doing well. What are the socks today? What socks are we doing? Oh, nice. Was that a bear? Is a polar bear on your socks today?
Those are bears.
Those are bears.
Oh, my God. Bears.
He's got bear socks on. He's got bare feet. Okay, I'm done with that. Crew, circle of honor, going on, things happening, Smitty's doing something. Somebody bring me up to speed. I don't have Time Warner.
I don't know what is happening.
So, Time Warner Cable.
Drink.
Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. You don't have to drink for that one. I was correcting myself. Aired last night at 7, 6 Central. A retrospective of the top 10 crew players of all time as voted,
massive icons.
The top 10 massive icons of all time as voted upon by massive media icons of the Columbus soccer media.
And the former icons of lore, all, you know, crew members, all sorts of people voted on
us. All sorts of crazy people voted on us. Strangely, none of us, only Patrick here around the table, got to vote. I wonder why I wasn't invited.
You were blacked out.
Yes, I was.
You're not massive enough.
Yes. I was blacked out from even knowing that the show was going on. Therefore,
we were all blacked out.
And thus ends.
I actually was blacked out yesterday. That's the funny part.
And thus ends. Yeah, you had that bar crawl yesterday.
Yeah.
And thus ends the extent of my knowledge of the top 10. I know that Eddie Gavin was on the list and Robert Rozier was on the list.
I don't know. Eddie did make it.
Eddie was on the list. He was number 10. Robert Rozier was on the list somewhere. Brian Massanoo was on the list somewhere.
Frankie Haiduk, I'm assuming.
I don't know. I have Time Warner Cable, Guillermo. But I DVR'd it and I haven't watched it yet. Was Guillermo
Barros, Escaloto,
Stern John,
Escaloto,
Escaloto.
So wait, they went through all 10.
Yeah,
last night in half an hour. Yeah,
it's like a countdown show.
And so are we going to be able to find this out?
No.
Unfortunately,
we don't have Time Warner.
So it's like this giant secret.
Wouldn't it be
Chris
hilarious?
Had one job to watch TV. And he did not.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if my Time Warner Cable app allowed me to watch it from here?
I've just figured it out. Time Warner Cable Sports Channel is like it's like Muirfield. Only the select of Columbus are allowed to play on it.
Sorry, wasn't what I.
And the rest of us just get to sit around and watch. And we get to watch them. Like, oh, hey, look, those guys, they're playing on the. Oh, look at that. Oh, look, they're having such a great time.
Time Warner Cable Sports Channel is like the Silence from Doctor Who. It's actually run by the Silence. We all actually have that channel. It's just every time we look away, we forget that we have that channel.
I was gonna say it's like the Weeping Angels. Don't blink.
Yeah, don't blink. Yeah. Or it's gone.
See, going back to the Tim Muirfield analogy. Once upon a time, long ago.
Is there a dress code? There's a dress code, isn't there?
Dress code.
When you turn on Time Warner Cable, you have to be wearing a certain. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes, I meet that dress code, by the way.
You need a caddy.
And not the car.
No, probably both.
I'm sorry. Go, I
no, sometimes
you blew
Alexa.
It!
Fair.
Well, actually, that could be apropos of two things, because not to harp on Sam's production, because it's usually fine, but he did kind of blow it by not putting that out there when we had the chill-out music. That was if I had to wait outside of Muirfield, listening to chill-out music in like a I don't know.
So
a bar.
Oh, I can bring it back.
For those of you that do have Time Warner Cable, all four of you out there, this show replays again tomorrow at 5:30.
At Club Non-Time Warner.
And then again at 9.
When did the plebs get to see it?
And then on Wednesday at 5. And then again on Wednesday at 11. And then again on Thursday at 10:30.
Is it interspersed with just a retrospective?
And then again on Thursday at 5:30.
It's a retrospective of the retrospective.
Rowdy Raider behind the music.
On Friday at 3:30. And then again on Friday at 11:30. Then on Saturday at 10 a.m.
This isn't a real channel.
Saturday at 5:30 p.m.
You know what?
Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Wait, is it before?
Sunday at 3:30 p.m.
Is it before or after? Is it before or after Stanley Spadowski's Clubhouse?
And then again on Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Yes, does play all of those times.
All I know.
Wow.
About and being a member, an esteemed member of the media, I will be forthcoming, much like I think people should be if they have, say, another esteemed honor, such as voting for the Hall of Fame in baseball, that you should own up to your votes. Mine was Brian Mazenoff at number 10. I feel a little bit bad about that. Maybe should have been higher. Robert Verzia at number 9. Stern John at 8. Eddie Gavin at 7. I do love Eddie Gavin, so he should have been on there. No ifs, ands, or buts. Jeff Cunningham at 6, Mike Clark at 5, Frankie Haydark at 4, Chad Marshall at 3, Guillermo Barrasqueloto at 2, and that leaves Brian McBride at 1. Those were my votes. 9 out of 10 made it. If you have heard who made the Massive Icons list and Chris hasn't tweeted me by then, I'm expecting a tweet later tonight.
He's talking to you, Steve Sirk.
No. He has Time
Steve
Warner
doesn't
too.
Have Time Warner. Yeah, that's a good
point. It's a nice idea. Vision. Unfortunately, that's one of the drawbacks of the Time Warner deal is that not everybody gets a chance to watch that. It really kind of drives their – obviously, it drives their schedule. Look for former Massive Report veteran Jonathan T-Bone Smitty Smith on there. He'll be talking about some of the Massive Icons as well. So we do have some Circle of Honor to discuss. Kind of along the same lines.
Oh, yeah,
you say?
Yeah. The Columbus Crew Circle of Honor.
Well, I would, before you get into that, I would like to say that I'll also be airing that show at 8, 10, 12, and then I skip a day.
4:30 a.m.
And then on Thursday, I'll be airing it at 4:50.
You gotta change your voice now.
I'll be airing this at 4:50. 4:50.
GMT.
Only on Bell Sports One. You don't watch it. No one does. Look, good for them. They've got a great show that no one can see. Fantastic. Nice job. I am so happy for them, and I wish that, I'm sure that if I were to watch it, I would probably agree with everything that they've said.
Like Mitch,
I'm still a little bitter about
that,
this.
Paraphrasing Mitch Hedberg, you can swear on Time Warner Sports Channel because no one can see you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's whatever. Really, this is one of those whatever moments. It really is.
All right. Circle of Honor, Ring of Honor. When's the final going to be announced on that?
I believe that it is going to be announced on Saturday, September 27th.
They'll be honoring on September 27th.
The Circle of Honor presentation presented by Ohio Health. First 10,000 fans through the gates will receive a commemorative Circle of Honor bobblehead. They will receive a bobblehead of the inductee presented by Ohio Health.
Voting for the final five ends this week, however, on the 23rd.
Because they need 6 months to tally the votes because, you know, there are going to be so many of them.
And make
probably make the bobbleheads.
And make a bobblehead.
Yeah.
Isn't that hilarious?
Well, actually, I think that most bobbleheads come from like three different figures, and they stamp a name on the bottom.
Somewhere.
And it's like, hey, yeah. It kind of looks like him.
Yeah, it almost looks like Defender Frankie Haddock. So, do you want me to read? Do you want me to read the names?
Yeah. Yes.
The names of the Circle of Honor finalists for your Columbus Crew. Number 3, Defender Mike Clark. MLS stats, 221 total games, 3 goals, 13 assists.
Hold on, I'll get you some music. I don't care if I...
Okay.
Defender Mike Clark.
Only on Bell Sports Network 2.
Number
Bell 2, one.
Defender Frankie Haddock. MLS stats, 147 games, 7 goals, 16 assists.
Bell Sports 1 is showing the Crystal Palace game. We had to move it.
Number 10, Brian Massenouve.
I believe that's Maisonneuve.
Yeah, I know. But I was doing it with a British accent. Yeah.
So when you were messing up the pronunciation when you were doing it with an American accent, that was calling forward?
Look,
was
preparing it's like for Time bit. Warner Cable. Nobody can watch it. MLS stats, 172 games, 23 goals, 37 assists. Next, number 7, forward Guillermo Barros Escaloto. MLS stats, 102 games, 33 goals, 41 assists. And the final finalist, number 19, everyone's favorite midfielder Robert Varzija. MLS stats, 160 games, 19 goals, 61 assists. Interesting nugget.
Yes.
No, I'm not even gonna. For those of you who are out there listening and not laughing at whatever Patrick is spreading on the table that I'm missing out on, you really should go to thecrew.com /news/ whatever this is and read the Circle of Honor finalists and the little blurbs that were written about them. For example, Mike Clark is a durable and rugged defender. Clark spent his entire 8-year MLS career with the Crew, a 2-time MLS All-Star, 2000 and 2001. Clark's 221 MLS games and 18,942 minutes are second only to Chad Marshall in Crew history. Clark started every single MLS Cup playoff match and Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup match played during his tenure, including the 2002 Open Cup final that brought the Crew its first championship. The reason that I say that you should go read those things is you might learn a thing or two about the shirt, about the team that is the shirt that you wear on Saturday afternoons. And everyone could use a little history lesson.
Now hearing all the names.
Yes.
Who do you vote for?
Who do I vote for? Can I go first?
Yeah.
I vote for Robert Varzija.
You going to defend that?
Yeah. Because it's not about who was the best coach. It's not about who's the best player. It's about which player deserves to be the next in the Columbus Crew Circle of Honor. And that is a measure of what you have done for this team and this city. And Robert Varzija, as much as everyone wants to talk crap about him and his tenure as Columbus Crew coach, the guy bled black and gold for the entire time that the Columbus Crew existed until he was dismissed as the coach in 2013. He's been here since the very beginning. He was an amazing player for us. He was an amazing assistant coach. He was an amazing interim coach. When he was the interim coach, he did everything that was requested of him. He is the next person that should be inducted into the Circle of Honor. Y'all are giggling. I don't care.
Justin Bell.
No, I completely agree. I think that's really fair. I think I would like to see one of the guys from those early teams in this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, my vote would have been Brian Maisonoff. He is the player who I remember being really impressed with the most back in those early days. I think everyone was very much enamored with Brian McBride for obvious reasons because he was great. But Brian Maisonoff he kind of embodied what the Crew were in those early days. He was not... As far as I know, he was not a professional before he was picked up by the Crew in that first year, 1996. And there weren't too many of the players who were picked up in 1996 who weren't previously professional soccer players.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't. He was one of the guys who wasn't. And he ended up being with the Crew his entire career.
Yeah.
He was hurt for a season, didn't play for the longest time, and then came back and finished his career. I think 2004 was his last year. And I always thought that he played the game with a lot of integrity, mm-hmm. which is an important thing, I think, especially during a league when the league didn't have a lot of attention. And there was really, you know, it could have very well turned into, you know, go out there and try to put on a lot of, you know, a lot of airs and try to sell your league, sell your team, and all this stuff, and do things that you're not comfortable with. And he really didn't do that. He was just really steady and honest. And the few times that I ever met him back in those days, he was always very nice mm-hmm. and very pleasant. And again, like integrity, that's the word that I always kind of I think of. That's an important thing for me. And so I would have voted for Brian Mazin.
Okay.
What about you, Patrick?
Patrick.
This is, you know, you have five players here who any one of them could check the name off the box, and it's all defensible. You know, Berzia, Mazanoff. I personally believe that going with the person who should deserve it the most is, you know, someone who made the most the most tangible impact to the team, and that would be Guillermo Barrascalotto, who was possibly the second best, maybe even the best player ever to put on a Columbus Crew shirt. MVP season in 2008, team MVP, MLS Cup champion. I think his ability to raise the team and the club above, you know, where it had been, the doldrums that came in 2005 through 2007, speaks for itself. So, you know, that's who I would expect. That's who I would vote for as far as my Circle of Honor inductee.
Frankie, Monster Truckin', Hey Duke.
Monster
That's
Truckin'.
All I'm saying about that. I want a Frankie bobblehead, first of all. Frankie has always been, I mean, you talk about it, and not to discount anyone else that's on that list, because I don't think they should be discounted at all. I think they'll all eventually be in Circle of Honor, but I think Frankie Hey Duke just screams Columbus to me and screams this club.
Absolutely. I'd like to ask a question on the table, and we have to do it quickly because we're being cut short by producer and boss. Everybody go around the table and give your favorite memory of the person that you would vote for in this, starting with Matt because you're sitting across from me. Go.
Goal in the MLS Cup.
See, I was going to go with 77th minute of the MLS Cup when Guillermo, you know, tees up a ball from around 30 yards out, just fires one off the crossbar. And it's like, you're not playing my game. I'm just needing to play in your game.
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching Brian Mazanoff play for the Crew, or play for the U.S. men's national team in 1998.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you knew that Brian McBride was going to play for that team, too. But, mm-hmm. you know, we had two players on that team.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
That's pretty cool.
So I remember that.
Mine of Robert is USA Mexico 2013. Seeing him at the match and just as a dude who's there to support the game and being able to say thank you and to shake his hand and to see the gratitude in his face that he wasn't completely shunned and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
The one thing I will say, there are only four of us and maybe a fifth would have chimed in. Mike Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Tough as nails, you know. Justin spoke about honest. Mm-hmm. Mike Clark was a different sort of honest. He was a guy who, you know, talking to Craig Merz, who did thecrew.com and who did AP and who did the Dispatch, you know, the guy just kind of went to work every day and did his thing. And he was a professional soccer player because there was MLS. He was that vision of the Crew, the hardworking guy. So all of these players that we've talked about, you could pick one of them and they would all fit right in.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think those are all, you know, it's like I said, any of these five get in and I don't think anybody's going to freak out and be upset about it. So we're going to come back in just a second and we're going to talk Chicago with maybe 10 seconds of Dayton smattered in there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, this is the Massive Report. Coming back
sports
in a second.
Sports, go sports. I promise I really totally care who wins. If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports! May they top their opponents numerically in the allotted time. Let's disenfranchise their audience and see their...
Shampoo is better! I go on first and clean the hair! Conditioner is better! I leave the hair silky and smooth! Oh, really, fool? Really? Stop looking at me, Swan!
And we're back. It's the Massive Report. Would have made so much more sense if we were playing Swansea in that friendly.
No, they'll be busy in Minnesota.
They're playing in Minnesota?
Yep. They're playing Minnesota Stars FC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's one of those things that if Swansea plays a Minnesota soccer team and no one comes, does it really happen?
Julia will be there.
Yeah.
And she sounds like 1,000 people, so it's about the same thing.
The highlights of that show will be on Time Warner Sports.
Minnesota.
Ohio.
Time Warner Sports Northern Minnesota.
Bell Sports 3.
Bell Sports 2.
When are we going to have Bell Sports the Ocho?
My favorite Time Warner Sports channel.
The Bell Sports family of networks.
My favorite Time Warner Sports Channel memory is when they were tweeting about Dallas Cup.
Yes, yes. And actually, you guys raise a really, really good point. We're talking about Time Warner Cable Sports Channel net of Ohio Central.
Again.
Drink. And my question is, will the Columbus Crew versus Crystal Palace match on Wednesday, July 23rd at 7:30 p.m. preempt the high school whatever sports show they have on? Will they air that instead of high school sports?
No, it'll be on the crew.com streaming channel, and Crystal Palace will have their traveling pack of American fanatics of Crystal Palace.
So you think that since it's going to be on arguably the only platform worse than Time Warner Cable Sports?
Wait, this isn't going to be on
ESPN? No, here's the thing. The crew.com? Better than preseason MLS.com.
Well,
MLS,
I mean, at least on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.com, you get to watch the entire match instead of just the first 8 minutes and then a freeze frame of the following 82.
Eventually, you go to black screen.
That is very, very true. Eventually,
what they should,
as in
with
all things, you do go to black screen.
What they should replace it with is just a picture that just says, please stand by, technical difficulties, and just Crew Cat just chewing on wire.
Much like Kent Brockman in The Simpsons, eh?
Yes.
My bratwurst has a first name. The Columbus Crew is traveling to Dayton on Tuesday. That's tomorrow for all you out there.
We're
going to
talk about that in just
time.
A second, because
okay.
Sam's making me bring up this topic. What do you change between now and and Dayton tomorrow?
Between now and approximately 22 hours.
That.
By the way, did you see that one of the players for Dayton who had played for Crystal Palace Baltimore, I believe?
And not Corey Beter.
Yeah,
he plays for the Cosmos. Thank you very much.
He sort of did a little trash talk against the Crew.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I wish I would have. Oh, I should have brought this up.
Really?
It was. He says he didn't. It wasn't really trash talk, but he said something like, "Oh, it'd be cool to go see Crystal Palace play in Columbus after we beat them tomorrow," or something.
So
like that.
So effectively, what he said was, "It's going to be cool to go watch this team that I'm about to beat go beat an EPL team."
Kind of. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like Seth Meyers.
I don't know. It was weird.
Really?
It's like worlds
really
colliding.
Really, bro?
Worlds colliding.
Really, bro? If you were any better at the thing that you chose to do as a vocation, you could be playing against that team from the EPL.
Well, the only thing is that it was Twitter trash talk, which is maybe the third lowest form of trash talk. So
oh, no.
I don't
Twitter trash talk is gospel. If it occurs on the internet, as we all know through our interactions with Rich Balchan, it is the absolute truth.
Oh.
So what do we change?
Yeah, what do we change from Portland to Chicago?
Chicago.
To Chicago. What do we change? Patrick?
Yeah, please. Lead us off here, buddy.
I think you need to figure out how to get more out of the left side of the field, mainly left wing. I don't think that the Crew really had much of an impact on that side of the field in Portland. And I don't think they have all year. I don't know if that's Justin Miram or Bernardo Anor. Those are two popular picks. but you know, maybe it's Ethan Finley moving to the other side. That's where I look to possibly seeing a little bit more out of the attack. Maybe a hold up forward. You know, Adam Bedell was picked in the 18 several times this year, but he doesn't really see, for being 6'7", he doesn't really seem like a hold up forward. Between now and then, I still only see minor changes because Berhalter said that no big changes are not coming till summer. So there's a heavy sigh in case you didn't.
What do you
hear
think,
that.
Chris?
Heavy sigh.
So the question is, what do I change? You didn't say that I had to change a player. You said, what do I change?
Yeah.
I changed the team's mentality from, hey, let's go play soccer, guys. It's going to be cool. To, hey, let's go win a freaking game. Wow, good timing, Sam.
Jables? I thought you were done.
No, I was done. Yeah.
Okay, Jables, what do you think?
I wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
I'll kind of repeat what I said last week. I don't think winning is the priority for this team. And it's just to keep players on the field who play better and who, you know, and that's it. I mean, we scored 3 goals in this last game, and that's 3 more than we scored in the previous, 300 minutes or whatever. So,
6 games.
Yeah, 6 yeah. games. Yeah. So, I mean, I hate to say that it almost doesn't matter, but I think it almost doesn't matter.
No.
Put 11 guys on the field and tell them this is your rival and play as hard as you can and go win.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Robert would put the 11 guys on the field that he thought he could win the game. Greg is putting the 11 guys on the field that he thinks are going to get better enough to win games next year.
Yeah, and I think that's it. And I mean, I know it's hard for people to... It's hard for people to be patient about this. It really is. But I really think people need to be patient. I think you need to say, wow, this is going to be tough. This is where we're going to separate not only the better players, but we're also going to separate the better supporters.
And sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
We can't afford that.
Yeah.
We cannot afford that here in Columbus, Ohio.
That's why I said last week it's a really dangerous game to play.
We cannot afford that.
But I think it's worthwhile. And it's
a calculated risk.
It is a very calculated risk, and somebody should ask the 2007 team what happened.
Or Chris Isaac. He knew how to play dangerous games.
He did. He also got to make out with Helena Christensen in her prime. So.
There is that.
On television, just, on camera.
No, we cannot,
on VH1.
We cannot afford to alienate the vast population of sports fans with disposable income that live in our market. We cannot.
Why the Hunts did that for years.
Yeah, well, now there's a new precedent and a new crew and a new era and a new expectation that we are going to go out and be world beaters and take names and kick ass and blah, blah, blah. And all those things are expected. And when you're going 7 games without scoring a goal, that is completely different than going 7 games with putting on a good show but not maybe getting all the results that you want.
Well, here's where I chime
just,
in with
I'm
Justin.
I'm pissed off.
I understand it's a little bit tough to wait till next year, and certainly that's not what the crew is vocally saying, and they would probably, you know, say, no, we're trying to win this year, and, you know, if you want to say that, that's fine. And if you've seen the attendances, they've been driving people to the games, maybe at the expense of some supporter culture. I think some people might say that with some of the cheap tickets and possibly the cheap beers. But it's also maybe starting the seeds of fans. We'll call them fanlings. In 2014,
can we never use that word again?
We can never use that word again. It was perfect in my mind, and I'm just horrible out loud.
Yeah, it was. It was really bad.
Fanlings. That's the last time I'll ever say it.
Thank you.
That, you know, come 2015, you're getting a team where Greg Berhalter has had now a full year to start to reorganize his team along his vision. You hope that vision turns into something that's, you know, presentable, that wins games. That, you know, you look at that and you think that was built in a kind of mild afternoon in Dayton in May, and well, that metaphor really kind of petered out. It's not like a cold winter day in Green Bay when the Ford tile was forged.
It was hailing on Saturday.
Yeah. So, but, you know, you that's where you start to test, you know, your backup central defenders, which, you know, the Crew will now have to go against Chicago with two new central defenders. So you'll have someone like Tyson Wall or Eric Gehrig or both of them at the same time facing off against the now semi-potent Chicago Fire offense. Or you have a left midfielder that you tried to figure out how best they fit into the team. So, you know, the wait and see, unfortunately, is part of the process. And that's the unfortunate thing about this year is that there are signs that there's a team here that can score goals. There's a team that's kind of exciting. But they're not quite there yet.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm all for building for next year and reloading and waiting and being patient and all of those things. I'm not concerned about myself or the 300 people that I hang out with every Saturday night. I'm concerned about the local ma and pa who have some disposable income, who want to come out to a Crew match, who are going to come to a Crew match and see a very patient, a very thought-out and well-planned Crew soccer team lose and then not come back for another 365 days. When we, as we said earlier, we need those people to come out every week, week in and week out, and become soccer fans. At this rate, we are going to cultivate a culture of once or twice a year soccer fans, and this market cannot afford that.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case because you have dedicated professionals who are sitting in their offices who are trying to figure out the best way to be able to turn the once or twice season ticket holders. Season ticket or ticket buyers into
season
four game packs.
Right, right. And
turning those four game packs into nine game packs and being able to convert those into full seasons. And
all jokes aside,
how much of that relates to the product on the field? It relates some, but it's not exclusive. So whereas Anthony Precourt is saying, okay, Greg Berhalter, the product on the field is yours. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike Melo, the product in the stands,
right.
Make this happen.
And all jokes aside, the Columbus Crew ticket sales and marketing staffs are doing God's work. I would take those guys into battle with me any day of the week because they are guys there are a lot of girls over there too. They won't give up and they will do absolutely everything that it takes to make that Ma and Pa soccer fan or that Ma and Pa Columbus, Ohio resident into Ma and Pa soccer fan. The problem is that Columbus likes winners. We can slice it and dice it any way we want. Columbus likes winners. And without a winning team, you're not going to have four or five game plan buyers, let alone season ticket holders. And how many years ago did we set goal 10K to be a goal?
That was
what is that?
Yeah, but then we fired the guy that did that. So
yeah.
His contract wasn't renewed, and he agreed that April would be his last month.
Fair enough. All right, so we played Dayton. On Tuesday. Tuesday. Does anybody care?
I mean, I'd like to
Justin
see
cares, I believe.
Are you going to that?
I'm
going
to try to.
I need a firmer answer than that because I'm contemplating riding with you.
Yeah, I have a job and I work very hard at it.
Yeah.
I actually have like four jobs.
I know.
Do you work hard and then play hard?
I don't.
Okay, just work hard. Okay.
Are you the hardest working guy on SOD?
No.
That's One Nation on the SOD.
The One Nation.
Oh, God.
I missed up my Crew taglines. I'm sorry about that,
guys. I'm going to try to go to the game.
You know why you should go, Justin? Because this is Columbus.
This is Columbus.
Versus the world.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't that be if you traveled to Dayton, that is Dayton then?
Yeah, this is Columbus, that is Dayton.
I don't think that Justin can make enough poor life choices to get to Dayton.
Thank you.
That's a really good point.
I do my best. I am the worst person in the world.
No, don't give yourself honorifics that you haven't earned. You're only the worst person in the sports world.
In the sports world, sorry.
Yeah, on Wednesday, whatever day that was.
Yeah. But the you know what I hope happens next week or tomorrow?
What's Dayton? That?
No one gets hurt. Seriously, that's it. That's it. So, did you notice, too, if we can kind of roll us back to the Portland game, Giancarlo Gonzalez played, obviously, and he's getting called up. There was a moment in the game where he pulled up with a cramp. Yeah, he pulled up with a cramp.
Yeah.
And he desperately looked like he did not want to play the rest of that game. And I kind of wish that he would have got taken out at that game. Because, can you imagine playing in Portland on that crud that they call a pitch? And you know that this is probably your last game before you go play for your country in the World Cup. And you're just dying not to get hurt.
Yeah. You know, just, all you're thinking is don't pull a hammy.
Yeah. Don't do anything stupid. Don't let some 19-year-old idiot from Portland.
Giancarlo
tackle me
will
high.
Will be playing the full 90 in Dayton tomorrow. By the way.
Oh my gosh. I really
again,
hope not.
2.0.
Maybe we can pull back. Wouldn't it be great if he pulls back Michael Parkhurst?
Can we call up some national team guys for this Dayton friendly?
Michael Parkhurst is late recall to right. from the national team for Dayton Dutch Lions friendly.
Hey Michael, yeah it's Greg. Look man, we got this really difficult game against Dayton tomorrow. Can you hop on a plane real fast?
I'm sorry Greg. The phone's breaking up. You're on a landline. I don't care.
I think it was Nate Beckman that suggested that Verhalter and Josh Wolf just call their own number.
Right.
Yeah.
Just suit up.
You know what's sad is Josh Wolf might be an improvement over the current striker squad that we have.
Well, I don't want Higuain playing in this game at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, me either.
And no. I don't want Will Trapp playing in this game
Ben
at all.
I don't want Ben Spies playing in this game.
No.
I don't know why we're still playing this game, quite honestly.
Is he on a plane to Houston? Yes, he's still on this team.
This just in, Eddie Gavin has been cited.
Hey, you know, speaking of Mike Clark.
Eddie Gavin's actually not going to play. He's just going to hide behind the Dayton bench and randomly stab people
great?
During the game.
No, what happens
he's
is...
just got a bowie knife in his teeth.
He's running around with a blowgun.
What happens is everyone kind of shows up at the stadium and they turn the lights on and Eddie Gavin's just standing at midfield. Just standing there. Not saying a thing. Just standing there.
Drenched out.
Drenched in sweat. Where did that come from?
Covered in elk blood.
Yeah. He's got a headdress like feathers in his.
So about that Chicago match coming up this weekend.
So we play Chicago on Saturday.
Can I make a public service announcement before we talk about the Chicago match?
Do we have to?
Dear Tony Galifo, don't set anything on fire.
Yeah, good call. All right, Chicago.
Yeah, that's where Sweatpants Bambalance comes from, by the way.
Sweatpants Bambalance.
All about that.
I mean, it's from the Chicago game last year. It's Bambalance.
Well, suddenly you have
Jacob
a Chicago
Watson,
team.
By the way, Jacob Watson did all the Galifo sweat.
Those were fantastic.
Brilliance.
Those were incredibly brilliant.
You know, suddenly you have a Chicago team that's on fire.
Hey-o.
That's right. I went there.
Kind of like the scoreboard at Columbus Crew Stadium. Hey. Sam wasn't late one time.
I'm. Whew.
So, yeah. I don't know. You have a not impotent attack. You have a guy who's a poacher against Tyson Wall and Eric Gehrig, Kevon George.
We're boned.
Greg Berhalter.
Perhaps Greg Berhalter as a late injury signing. You know, the Matt White is pulled off the DL to go 90 minutes after he has been jogging around.
So quick, pull over the table, and Sam, you can get in on this. How many of us actually are like almost giving up
against Chicago, or in general on life? And
no, like at this point, like I'm not gonna lie, I am this close to just riding out the stretch. And which is really sad because we're only, what, 8, 9, 10 games in?
11 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Less than the third.
Well, look, I mean,
my heart's not in it right now.
It's hard to do, but it's what I had advised last week, and I advise it again. I think you just have to look and, you know, cheer for these guys and hope that they get better.
Hey, Chris,
and that's
do.
And don't.
This
I
is
mean,
when champions are forged.
Yeah.
You dig deep down
I
and figure out
do
how
all of those things. I just
to
I,
down that next beer, to eat that next dollar bratwurst that's going to give you
Bob
possibly
Evans.
Food poisoning. Well,
you mentioned a player who I think, Kevon George. I think I would really like to see him get a couple of runs out just to see what he can do, because I was kind of impressed with him for stretches when he played last year. I thought he did pretty well. I mean, there was actually a moment where Bobby Rozier played him as a sweeper against New York, I mean, which was kind of shocking, but that was kind of what he did. And I mean, that's, I think he's a good athlete. I think he's got a good head for the game, and I think he might be able to get better in time.
He has seven games under his belt as a center back from Dayton.
Yeah.
He has been getting consistent game time. He is one of the few players as a central back that hasn't just been running in practice, and while that may have worked for Cole Grossman in Salt Lake over the weekend, you know, Tyson Wall, Eric Gehrig, how much of those people are going to be, you know, chasing off a little bit of rust? Mm-hmm. Whereas you have, you know, Kevon George, who has been making a positional switch. He's considered a center back right now by Greg Berhalter. And, you know, he has a tall physical presence that, you know, matches up well, and he is athletic. And there are times that I've particularly liked him last year, the year before even.
Is that why we're playing Dayton on Tuesday? Is that so we can get some of these guys, Eric Gehrig, guys like that, a run out? Do you guys think
yeah, that's the case? Yeah, absolutely. Can I make a disclaimer real fast? I should have said this a minute ago. That half of the reason, and when I say half, I mean 96% of the reason that I'm riding out the stretch here is because I'm just pissed off. I'm pissed off at Crew fans. I'm pissed off at Crew Soccer Nation. I'm pissed off at the world. I'm over it. Carry on.
Okay, so I want to get back to Chris's question here real quick. Larry and I were talking earlier before the podcast started about what happens if the Crew, if this is a big if, which is different than a big but, big if, what happens if the Crew go out in the summer transfer window, sign a quality scorer, and then those 1-0 losses become at least ties or 2-1 wins. You know,
you start looking like Portland in 2013, frankly.
Yeah, now here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to say. This is my disclaimer. In the beginning of the season, once again, I'm going to mention that at the beginning of the season, before when we were doing our preseason predictions, I said this team won't make the playoffs. Maybe I just have lowered expectations, but I feel better watching this team and talking about it than the last 3 years of RZA. And that's yeah. really...
There's a direction.
There's hope. Yeah, there's a direction. There's actual direction as opposed to the 11 guys that can win the game.
Well, after, you know, the 2010 changeover and the bringing in the new guard in 2011, this is very much, I said at the time, this is very much Varziha's and Bliss's chance. This is all on them. And after 3 years, 2.5, it was very clear that it wasn't working.
Yeah.
Berhalter has had 11 games where he is very methodical. He kept most of the players from last year. And his conversations about the team has been very much, we are going to, I like to see what these guys have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is very much, how are you going to integrate into the 2015 rebranded yellow, black and gold and red Crew? A little nod to you, Mr. Bell. How are you guys going to fit in to my vision? And, you know, this is a guy who has brought in, you know, Michael Parkhurst, his guy, who can play his game. Giancarlo Gonzalez, who is a smart central defender. You know, Hector Jimenez, who is another smart soccer guy who was a cast-off. So, you know, how do you fit into the new Crew 2015?
One really, really quick thing. I mean, what you just said and what Sam said, I think that kind of encapsulates it really well to me. If you compare the way that I felt in 2010 when they did the Black November thing, I mean, even at that point, and I'm going to bag a little bit on the previous people because I said this back then, so I feel like I'm entitled.
Yeah.
I'm entitled, damn it.
You are.
You are. I'll give it to you.
I feel like back then, I mean, I was mad. I was just angry because what that was making changes because they allowed what happened to happen to them. They weren't going out there and dictating how they were going to rebuild the team. This was them not planning and really creating a bad situation for them. And knowing that everything that they said about how that was going to be rebuilding, I remember words coming out saying, like, this was Belichickian. That was the words that they were describing. I just remember thinking, boy, this is bullshittian is what this is. This is not going to work. And sure enough, it was awful. 2011 was maybe worse to me than 2006, 2007,
yeah.
As bad as 2006 was. Because 2011, we made the playoffs. We
yep.
made the play-in to the playoffs. But it still felt empty. It really felt like this is not right. The way that things are going is not right.
Yeah.
And we reaped the rewards, I guess, for the next 2 years from it.
Mm-hmm.
This is different. I agree with Sam. I feel like they have, like Greg Berhalter has ideas. And he knows what he wants to make this team look like. We're not there yet. but I really do feel like he's got something that he's doing that is going to lead us to a better thing. Now, going back to what you said, Chris, wow, it is a really dangerous thing to do, because we might not have the people available to come and support this team when it becomes good, and it will become good. I really believe that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree as well.
Yeah.
Well, we got to do score predictions and wrap this up, because Sam's giving me the evil eye. Apparently, Abby's texted him. So let's do this real quick. Patrick, what do you think for Chicago?
I think it'll be 2-1 Chicago. The being able to get a central defense partnership working that quickly, I think, is going to be a struggle.
All right, Justin.
I think we're going to win 5-0.
Chris?
Like the optimism.
Firehouse East.
3-1
Chicago.
Wow, you went there.
Yeah, I did.
All right, Sam.
Yeah, I was going to say 3-1, 2-1 Chicago, one of those two.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna say probably 2-1 Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? If you add up all of your scores and compare them to mine, I think I still lose, so never mind.
Yeah, no, I think Chicago fair. Wins. And they're pros at this. I think they win 7-6.
Hey! Oh. All right. So, anyway.
Live broadcast next week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're going to be taking it on the road. And by on the road, I mean to Sam's backyard.
Sam's Country Bunker.
Sam's Country Bunker. And we're going to be eating all the meats on the grill.
Are you going to be joined by our special guest?
I think so.
Okay.
We're going to have a special guest. Sweet.
Who, Rachel?
Are we telling? Yeah, your fiance.
Yeah.
Is going to be on the show. It's going to be fantastic. All right. Cool. Well, hopefully special guest, video podcast. Join us on Memorial Day. We won't be here, but you can still come out to the bar if you want to. I'm sure Willie will be here. Yeah, I think they're going to be open. So for Sam.
Or stand outside.
For Patrick. For Justin. For Chris. For Larry. For Greg. For Chris in China, who couldn't make it because of technical difficulties. This has been another edition of the Massive Report podcast. My name is Matt Goshard. I was never one to hold grudges, Jeffrey. My father held grudges, and I'll always hate him for that.